past times and how he's made known unto us. I don't know how many methods that the Lord can use to make things known unto us. We know one of them would be a direct revelation through someone else. We know we have the prophecies that has been given to us in the scripture. And we know that there's people that's had visions and dreams, and we know that you can also have that still small voice speak to you. I think that probably most of us has had this happen to us, that we may have had something made known unto us from time to time. I think that probably more often that still small voice may speak to us and tell us what we should do. And no matter how we look at it, any one of these would be a miracle of one sort or another. Now how big a miracle has to be important to the whole group, I don't know. But I'm sure that any time that this is made known unto us, it's important for us. Something that we must also consider very carefully is where he's come from. We know also that Satan can make things known unto people. But this is where some discernment on our part is very important. I'm sure that all of us could readily realize where we would be if we didn't have direction from the Lord at one time or another. We know that in the that Moses had direction of the Lord. We know that many of the prophets of old were directed to write things for us and directed on how to handle our affairs. We know that many battles was won by direction from the Lord. And at that particular time, that likely was one of the most important things to those people in the world. And we know that from the beginning of time that these things have been, and we know that they came right on down through the Dark Ages. Some men even during the Dark Ages was directed of the Lord. We know that Joseph Smith was directed of what to do. And we know that we're directed right now. And it's important to have ourselves in such a condition that we can recognize these things. I want to read out of Acts a few verses. Out of the 8th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, and beheld a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia. For he had charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran hither unto him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? Now here was, we might say, a miracle of sorts. Here an angel that came to speak unto Philip and told him what to do. We'll skip on down here to the 35th verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he said, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, in these few verses, we see quite a few miraculous things happen. To begin with, here the angel appeared unto Philip and told him where to go. And as he went down there, he found the person that he was directed to find. And he was able to preach to him. And the man heeded the words which he was told, and he believed. And he was baptized. Now this didn't take too long a time, I don't believe, but it was made known to Philip that this man was ready for baptism. And then Philip was caught up and taken away. Now, here, all these great things happened, and here in just a few verses, we read it over quite casually, and we don't think much about it. But there was a lot of things took place in those maybe a few hours. It might have been a day or two. I don't know how long it took Philip to go down from where he was at, where he came across this man. And it wasn't too long. But where he was caught up and taken away, he was transported. And I don't believe it took very long that he was in another place. And this just shows when the will of the Lord is being done and the Lord has a desire to have something accomplished, what's going to happen. Now, what do you suppose if Philip went from Jerusalem down to Gaza where he was directed to go, and he said, Well, I'll be loved in Bethlehem, or Jericho, or someplace else? What do you suppose would happen? I really don't know. But if he hadn't have done this, he wouldn't have found the eunuch, would he? He hadn't heeded the words that was given to him. Now, we read in our Sunday school class this morning about Jonah and how he was Christians, and he could bind them and bring them to Jerusalem and have them tried. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now here is another several miraculous things taking place. Now Christ recognized Paul as being a sincere person. And he spoke to him. We'll read on here and see what happened over into the 10th verse here. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Now here we see several miraculous things taking place. Here, actually, a non-believer in Christ was given direction. Here, Christ was talking to one of his disciples. Even his disciple here is going to question these things that the Lord has said. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all didn't know whether he wanted to. Now, he thought to himself, this doesn't sound right. But he did have discernment enough to realize that when the Lord spoke to him and told him the reason, that it was of the Lord, that he went and acted out as he was told. And I think this is very important for each one of us, that we can realize these things. For as we go about our daily task, it's not very likely that we're going to have any visions daily at this time. I don't believe anybody does around here. I don't believe we have spiritual dreams every night. And probably we're not given that still small voice too often. But when we receive it, we want to be sure that if it is of the Lord, that we heed it. I want to go over here to Amos in the Old Testament. I want to read just one verse out of the third chapter. And all of us have heard this many times, seventh verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So this pretty well indicates if there's going to be something fairly great happening, if there's righteous people enough, or if there's someone that is righteous enough, and he's going to make a known unto him what he's going to do. Now we have a pretty good idea in our own minds what the Lord vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now whether that is visions such as prophecy, or whether we would list vision as insight, and just having knowledge, I don't know. Both of them are very important. But we know that if people cannot see and tell and understand the scripture, that they're going to perish. And we do know that we've got to have direction from the Lord of one kind to another, that we might know what we're to do. wife being old and so on, he had a child by the bondswoman. And we know that when his child got to be about 14, when Ishmael got to be about 14, and Sarah had had a baby, that he was cast out. But this child that was cast out was given a promise that he would have many descendants, and he was also told that he'd be a wild man of the desert. And in this time, I think we can see what a terrible mistake that was. Most people are to this day, we might say, a plague to all of society, the trouble that they're causing. Abraham seemed to try to run just a little bit ahead of the Lord. If he would have waited upon the Lord and allowed these things to happen as the Lord had intended, we wouldn't have had an Arabian nation. Of course, I'm sure that in God's great plan, all of this was laid out this way. But it also shows we shouldn't try to run ahead of the Lord and do something that we believe to be right. We better wait and find out. And still, when he does tell us something, we want to be there to hear it, and when we know it, and we heed those words. I want to go over here into the eighth chapter of Amos and read a few verses. I want to read 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even unto the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Just at what point in time this was talking about, particularly, I'm not sure. But we can see that happening today. If you've ever listened to the programs on TV, there's several hour-long programs. They are preaching the gospel, and there's people searching it and trying to find out what's going on. And they're working diligently that they might understand the ways of the Lord. And we can see that they're running from, you might say, sea to sea and from border to border, searching for the word of the Lord, and they haven't found it. And it's very possible that they never will find it. But if they would seek the Lord in diligence and be willing to take his direction, I'm sure that many of them would find the true one. I'm sure that if many people was told what the true gospel was, that they would turn from it, because they had wanted to be a more glorious and we might say something to put on a greater show than what the gospel of the Lord is going to put on for the people. It's going to be simple. It's not going to be anything showy and flashy. And some people can't accept this. The same as they couldn't accept the birth of Christ. They wanted it to be something great and some great king to come in and rule them. And something simple that people just couldn't accept. And the rejection of Christ by the Jews isn't too far from what the people are doing to the gospel right today. They have it. People have built fine sanctuaries. They go into them. Some for show. Some are very serious, very sincere. But if they actually found out what the gospel was, how simple it was, they'd turn away from it.
some out of Morgan here. The fourth chapter, I want to read 66, 67, and 68. And again I say unto you, who deny the revelations of God, and say that they are done away, that there are no more revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healings, nor speaking in tongues, nor interpretation of tongues. And he's talking to these people who are denying these things. He said, well, there's no more speaking in tongues. It isn't necessary. There's no more need to have them interpreted for healing, for gifts. He's talking to this type of people. Now, a person that wouldn't believe in any one of these would fall in this category. Not just people that say, well, I don't believe in healing, but yet I believe in some of these others. They're wrong. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. Now, how many people does this fit today? There's a lot of people. I have never sat down and read the Bible from cover to cover. I don't know how many of you have. Now, there's lots of people that say that they are reading the Bible through the second time in a year, when they have read it 14 times in their life. But yet they deny some of these things. So they have read it, but they didn't understand it. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, no shadow of changing. Now this is the type of God that we believe in. And the type of a person that we can put our strength in. That if we do what he commands us and asks us, that he can do these great things for us. Not only can he heal us, but he can also direct us what we should do. And possibly this is the most important thing of all, that we receive the direction that we need. Because actually we're only going to be upon this earth anywhere from 60 to maybe even 102 or 3 years. Now it's well that we could be healed when we need to be healed and receive blessings. But the most important thing is that we can understand his gospel and we can receive his final blessing, we can have eternal life. I want to read a few verses out of Helaman here, the fifth chapter. These are some verses that that all of us have read many times. It was prophesying of Christ coming. The fifth chapter, I'm going to begin with the 55th verse. Now this is one of the few times that the Lord foretold something and put an actual time that's going to happen. Now in most of the scripture, when he says something, and we read in Isaiah or in Daniel or in Revelation, we can kind of feel we know what's going to happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen, do we? But this is one time to put a time on it, an exact time. And behold, he said unto them, behold, I give unto you a sign, for 5 years more cometh, and behold, then cometh the Son of God, to redeem all those who shall believe on his name. And behold, this will I give unto you for a sign at the time of his coming. For behold, there shall be a great light in heaven, insomuch that in the night before he cometh, there shall be no darkness. Insomuch that it shall appear unto man as if it was day. Therefore, there shall be one day and one night and a day as if there were one day. And there were no night. And this shall be unto you for a sign, for ye shall know of the rising of the sun and of the setting of the sun. Now, if we read a few verses before this, he was telling of these things that the people that he was speaking to didn't believe him. They didn't believe that this was going to happen. Now, I want to read over here a little ways, and I want to go to the third Nephi. In the third chapter. Beginning with the ninth verse.
Given was already at hand. And there,
they begin to know that the Son of God must shortly appear. Yea, you find all the people upon the face of the whole earth, from the west to the east, both in the land north and in the land south, were so exceeding astonished that they fell to the earth. Now, if we can just imagine this, these people had been wicked, and they knew that the plan that they had laid was wrong. It must have been similar to what Alma experienced. He fell to the earth, as we know, and was in this state for 3 days. Now, how long these people fell to the earth and remained there, I don't know. But they knew that the wickedness that they had planned was wrong. And they knew that the prophets had testified of these things for many years, and that the signs which had been given was already at hand. And they began to fear because of the iniquity, of their iniquity and their unbelief. And it came to pass that there was no darkness in all that night, but it was as light as at midday. Now this was a time though that the people was able to repent and return. This was a time like at the city of Nineveh, that the people were preached to and told of their sins, and they had a chance to follow after the Lord. Now we know at the time of the flood, it was foretold that there would be a flood. Those people could have known that they had turned unto the Lord. But they didn't, and when the waters began to raise, they had no chance. And sometime in the very near future, that's going to happen again. When that time comes, the people that have not followed after the ways of the Lord are not going to have a chance, because it's going to be too late. I want to read another couple of verses here out of Acts. In the second chapter, I'm sure all of you know what these verses are. You've heard of, I think Mark probably read them here a few weeks back. And I've read them, and I'm sure several others have in the last year. In the second chapter, the beginning of the 17th verse, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And when there is the Lord, be better than you." And we should pray that we might have discernment, that we know which is of the Lord and which is not. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days, in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And when this happens, we want to pray that we know which is of the Lord and which is not. And when they are